أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وهذا كتاب أنزلناه مبارك فاتبعوه واتقوا لعلكم ترحمون. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, in the last two bayans we have made mention with regard to the beauty and the greatness of the Holy Quran, and thereafter discussed the rights and duties we owe to the Holy Quran. And under these rights, we had said that the first right that we owe to the Holy Quran is recitation of the Holy Quran. The second is to make an earnest effort to understand the message of the Holy Quran. And under this right, we have dispelled certain misconceptions which prevail. Now similarly, with regard to the second right, with regard to the understanding, there is a new slogan and a new call which has been made today, and that is for the revision, the reviewing and the rethinking of the Holy Quran. In reality, this call and the slogan of reviewing and rethinking of the Holy Quran challenges the immutability and the enduring nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qualities and His sifat. Understand very carefully that reviewing and rethinking of anything, not only of the Holy Quran, of anything, only comes about when what you want to review, the original definition, becomes al-iyadu billah out of place or out of time. When you no longer have faith in the applicability of the intending scope of the original, then you want to review a thing that you feel that the original cannot be applicable today, therefore let us review it. Or you no longer believe in the enduring quality of the original, then reviewing becomes necessary. And reviewing also presupposes a defect. It also presupposes a defect. It also brings about an anxiety of unfinished business, of incompleteness, of imperfection. Now, who is there to judge al-iyadu billah the imperfection of the Holy Quran? Let him show by which intellectual, literary or moral standard al-iyadu billah the imperfection of the Holy Quran is to be judged. There is no such thing of reviewing and rethinking if you think of it correctly. The reality of this whole situation is that those who call for the rethinking or the reviewing of the Holy Quran, they cannot accept the Quranic injunctions with regard to present day sensitive issues. Sensitive I'm using with an inverted commas. They feel that the Quranic injunctions inhibit their political and intellectual posturings, and the Quranic injunctions does not make them feel comfortable in the circles in which they move in. Therefore and thus, the Quranic law with regard to capital punishment, al-iyadu billah, is barbaric and anti-rehabilitation. The Quran says, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ, that verily in the law of retaliation, in capital punishment, if someone is killed, he must be killed in return, there is safety of life for you. Allah Ta'ala says yes, Dallah says no. Allah Ta'ala says there is safety of life in capital punishment, Dallah says it is barbaric. Who is right? I leave it for you to judge. Then furthermore, the Quranic law with regard to inheritance, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلِذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَزِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ, that in inheritance, the male will get double that which the female gets. It is a categorical command of the Quran that today is regarded as sexist and unjust. the Quranic law with regard to hijab is archaic, because the trend today is not with regard to hijab, it is with regard to wearing jeans. So therefore all these have to be brought in conformity with the trendy concepts in which we are living in. That is the real purpose of those who call for the reviewing and rethinking of the Holy Quran. Then another suggestion which is brought forward is this, that the Quranic laws and injunctions must be determined by the context and the social milieu of the time. It must be determined by the context in which we are living in. This also, if you think about it, negates the very purpose of revelation and wahi. Why did Allah Ta'ala send down wahi and the Holy Quran? Allah Ta'ala has sent it so that we might change our life, our attitude, our way of thinking, and bring it in conformity with the Holy Quran and revelation. Not that we must change revelation in the Quran to bring it in conformity with our whims and fancies, and our way of thinking and our way of living. No. There is no defect in the Quran in Islam. It is perfect the way it is. Yes, what we got to change and reform is not the Quran and Islam. We got to perfect ourselves. We got to reform our way of thinking, our self-conceit. In one word, our defects, instead of, aliyadu billah, the defects of Islam and the Holy Quran. To give you an example of this, bringing the Quranic laws in conjunction and in the context of which we are living, I recently read a publication that came from Pakistan, the Al Farooq magazine, in which reference was made to another magazine that was published in Pakistan, in which it was written that the swine, aliyadu billah, was haram in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam because it used to eat filth and garbage. But in today's time, the swine is brought into the abattoirs under very hygienic circumstances. Therefore, the hurmat and the prohibition of it no more remains. This is what will happen when we start looking at the Quran, the commands of the Holy Quran, in the context of our situation, in the context of the society in which we are living in. Nothing will remain sacred. Nothing. No command of the Holy Quran will remain sacred. This change and this process and this metamorphosis, this continual process of change, will become to such an extent that every deviant person will want to bring the Quran in conformity with his own view of life and his own view of this world. Nothing of the Quran will remain sacred. Nothing will be of an enduring nature and quality. Therefore, there is no scope for this with regard to the Holy Quran. Yes, there have been different interpretations, but these interpretations work and operate under very strict controls and regulations. And within the acceptable parameters of usul tafsir, one interpretation can be preferred over another. But never in the history of the Holy Quran, on behalf of the ulama ikram and ulama haq, has there ever been a call to revise the Holy Quran. There has never been such a call. And we have to realize the danger with regard to such a call and with regard to such a slogan. But we don't have our same, while we have to realize the danger, we don't have to be overawed. There have always been such attempts in the past, but the dynamics of Islam have never allowed anyone to get his way with regard to the Holy Quran. Muslims have always believed and will always believe that the Quran is, was, and will always be the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it, and the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it down to our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It needs no revision from pitiful adherence of an alternative Islam. That is a new buzzword. Alternative Islam. An alternative masjid. It needs no revision from pitiful adherence of an alternative Islam. Now after understanding that the first right that we owe to the Holy Quran is recitation. The second is to make an earnest effort to understand it, and under this I have made mention of certain misconceptions. The third and perhaps the most important right that we owe to the Holy Quran is to make a amal upon the precepts and the message of the Holy Quran. وَعَذَا كِتَابٌ says Allah in the Holy Quran. This is a kitab. أَنزَلْنَاهُ which we have revealed. مُبَارَكٌ which is very blessed. فَاتَّبِعُوا and practice upon it. And fear Allah so that Allah Ta'ala might bless you. So that you might be blessed and mercy might come upon you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, as made mention on the authority of Mu'adh al-Juhani radiallahu ta'ala, من قرأ القرآن وعمل بما فيه ألبس والداه تاج يوم القيامة. Whoever reads the Holy Quran and then practices upon what he has read, his parents will be made to wear a crown on the day of Qiyamah. And that crown will be even more brilliant than the splendor and the light of the sun. If it is placed in your homes, even more greater than the splendor of the sun. And if this is going to be the reward for the parent of a person who reads and practices upon the Holy Quran, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then ask the Ashab, what will be the reward of a person who himself reads and practices upon the Holy Quran? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was asked that what was the character of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She replied most appropriately, Kana khuluquhu al-Quran. His character was the Holy Quran. What is the meaning? That the ayat of the Holy Quran in which Allah Ta'ala's greatness and His qualities are mentioned, that was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's belief. That was his aqidah and his conviction. The ayat in which commands of the Holy Quran are made mention, that was the practice of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The verses in which mutual dealings have been explained, that is how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with the people. The ayat in which good quality and good character has been emphasized, that was the behavior of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The ayat in which Allah Ta'ala makes mention with regard to His rahmat and His mercy, that was the expectation and the desire and the hope of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the ayat in which Allah Ta'ala has made mention with regard to His wrath, anger and punishment, that was the anxiety and the worry of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an, His whole character was the Holy Qur'an. And such the same was true with regard to the Ashab and the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ajma'in. They did not have at hand extensive libraries on Quranic sciences, or tafsir, etc. But they were the closest to the Holy Quran. They were very close to their hearts were very close and they lived by the Holy Quran. Whatever the Quran made mention, they were prepared to accept it. Thus we find that when the Quranic law and command came with regard to khamar being haram, wine and alcohol being prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they did not go into an argument and debate that what is the chemical formula of alcohol, and it is alright if you have it as long as you do not show symptoms of intoxicants. No, they did not go into all those debates. They broke their glasses and they threw the wines out of the bottles until such a time came the Sayyidah Sahaba that wine on that day in which khamar was made haram flowed freely on the streets of Madinah Sharif. When interest was made haram, they did not raise the arguments the way present day Muslims raise arguments. And let me also tell you that interest was also as rife and widespread in pre-Islamic Arabia the way it is today. But they did not raise the arguments we raise today, that how can you do business without interest today? And how can you cut yourself off from the international economy? They knew that the Quranic command was categorical. It was clear that Allah Ta'ala has prohibited not only the giving, but the taking, the charging, the writing, and the witnessing of it. They knew that the Quran said it is tantamount to waging war against Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They knew that the Quran has made mention that when you take interest, it decreases your wealth, and when you give charity, it increases your wealth. They knew all this and they practiced upon it. They did not go into major arguments and debates and controversies, because they realized that the main thing with regard to the Holy Quran was to practice upon it. So after making mention with regard to the beauty of the Holy Quran, with regard to the three rights that we owe to the Holy Quran, recitation, understanding and practicing, I'm going to conclude with regard to this bayan with a beautiful hadith which appears in Mishkatul Masabih. I will just read through the translation of this hadith. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu makes mention that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّهَا سَتَكُونَ fitnah. A time will come when you will be engulfed in fitna. So the Sahaba asked, مَا الْمَخْرَجُ مِنْهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. How will we be able to save ourselves from that fitna, O Prophet of Allah? And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, كِتَابُ اللَّهِ, the kitab of Allah, فِيهِ نَبَأُ مَا قَبْلَكُمْ. In this kitab, Allah Ta'ala has made mention with regard to the previous Anbiya and the previous Ummah. وَخَبْرُ مَا بَعْبَدَكُمْ. And He has given you information with regard to what is going to happen in the future, with regard to Qiyamah and the signs of Qiyamah. وَحُكْمُ مَا بَيْنَكُمْ. In this kitab of Allah, Allah Ta'ala has given this, his verdict and decision with regard to the arguments and disputes that we have with one another. هُوَ الْفَصْلُ لَيْسَ بِالْحَسْلِ هَذَلْ. It differentiates between right and wrong, between truth and falsehood in such a decisive manner. لَيْسَ بِالْحَسْلِ. It is not loose. It makes mention of the truth and falsehood in clear-cut definitions and a clear-cut manner. And مَنْ تَرَقَهُ مِنْ جَبَّارٍ قَسَمَهُ اللَّهِ. Whoever leaves the Holy Quran out of pride and arrogance, Allah Ta'ala will destroy him. وَمَنْ ابْتَغَى الْهُدَى فِي غَيْرِهِ أَضَلَّهُ اللَّهِ. And whoever seeks hidayat and guidance from any other book other than the Quran, Allah Ta'ala will lead him astray and will not bring him upon the right path. وَهُوَ حَبْلُ اللَّهِ الْمَتِينِ. It is a rope that you reach towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best manner of coming closest towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ الذِّكْرُ الْحَكِيمِ. It is an advice from one who is most wise and who has all the qualities of wisdom. وَهُوَ الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. It is صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمِ, true and true. هُوَ الَّذِي لَا تَزِيغُ لَهُ الْأَحْيَا أَحْوَى. And the Quran is such a kitab which will not allow your inclinations to become perverted. وَلَا تَلْتَبِسُ بِهِ الْأَلْسِنَا. Will not allow your tongue to become distorted. And وَلَا يَشْبَعُ مِنْهُ الْعُلَمَا. It is such a kitab that the ulama will never be fully satisfied and satiated with the ulum and the knowledge which is contained in the Holy Quran. So much tafsirs and commentaries have been written about the Quran, that no other Quran and no other kitab, so many commentaries have been written. In each and every subject with regard to the Quran, commentaries have been written. وَلَا يُخْلَقُ عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الرَّدْ. It is such a kitab which will not become old by excessive reading. Take any other book, read it 3 or 4 times, even the most ardent admirer of that book will become tired of it. The Quran is, the more you read it, the more you will enjoy reading it. It will not become old by excessive reading. وَلَا يَنْقَذِي عَجَائِبُهُ. And the ajaib and the amazing factors of the Quran will never cease to exist. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam concluded, this is such a kitab, man qala bihi sadaq. Whoever speaks in accordance with it has spoken the truth. Whoever practices upon it will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ حَكَمَ بِهِ. Whoever gives his verdict in accordance with the Holy Quran, he has given a verdict in accordance with justice. And then وَمَنْ دَعَى إِلَيْهِ هُدِيَ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And whoever calls people to the Holy Quran, he has given a call and an invitation towards the Sirati Mustaqim. This is the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you and I the tawfiq of understanding and appreciating the beauty of the Holy Quran. Allahumma nawwir qulubana bil Quran. Oh Allah, enlighten our hearts with the Quran. Allahumma zayyin akhlaqana bil Quran. Oh Allah, adorn our character with the Holy Quran. Oh Allah, wadkhilna al-jannata bil-Quran. Let us enter into Jannah through the means of the Holy Quran. And oh Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam through the means of the Holy Quran. So what is this?